with another broadcast of the Pastor's Study. I want to welcome each and every one of you to the Pastor's Study today. Our topic of study today is entitled Things Missing in Hell. Things Missing in Hell. We'll be going to a very familiar passage of Scripture in just a moment in Luke chapter 16 and verses 19 to 31. Father, we pray that you would strengthen the saint of God today by thy word. Encourage. Father, we pray if there be a lost soul today, that they realize if they don't trust Jesus Christ, if they don't trust him before they die, that they'll die in their sins and go to hell. And Father, we know it's not your will that any should die and go to hell, but that all should come to repentance. You're not willing that any should perish. Father, now we pray you bless our time together in thy word. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to go to Luke chapter 16, and we're going to begin in verse number 19. And we're going to read down through the chapter, the end of the chapter. Luke chapter 16 with me, beginning in verse number 19. There was a certain rich man, which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, in desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. And now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot. Neither can they pass to us that would come from hence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldst send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, They have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. There are those out there that'll say, hell doesn't exist. There's a group of folks out there that teach there is no hell. At death, those that are wicked will just be annihilated. cease to exist. But that's not what the Word of God says. We have before us this very famous passage of Scripture used to preach on hell. I want to point out that this passage of Scripture is not a parable, but an actual account. Usually, a parable does not give names and locations. In our account here, in Luke chapter 16, which we just read together, does. Often when this passage is preached on, what you will find in hell is brought out. But what I want to do in our study, I want us to look at what is missing in hell. The first thing missing in hell is, in hell, there is no mercy. Notice in verse 24 of Luke 16, the Bible tells us, in Luke 16, verse 24, that, and he cried and said, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame." The rich man cried out for mercy. However, we want to notice that none was given. Now, mercy is defined as not giving someone the punishment they have coming or deserve. What is interesting, and what we want to notice, is that all through the Bible, when man cried out to the Lord for mercy, he receives it. For example, in the parable of the Pharisee and the publican, in the 18th chapter of Luke, in verses 9 through 14, we see that the publican asked for mercy. He cried out, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." In other words, he knew that he deserved to die and go to hell for his sins. However, we are told he received mercy. The Bible tells us this man went down. Jesus said, "This man, the publican, who cried out, 'God, be merciful to me, a sinner,' this man went down to his house justified." The prodigal son, in Luke chapter 15, asked for mercy from his earthly father, who was a picture, a type of the Heavenly Father, our Heavenly Father, God the Father. He said to his father, "I have sinned against heaven, and in thy sight am no more worthy to be called thy son." He received mercy that he did not deserve. He had gotten in with the wrong crowd and spent all of his inheritance on riotous living. But notice with me his father's response in Luke chapter 15, verses 22 to 24. "But the father said to his servants, 'Put forth the best robe, put it on him, put a ring on his hand, and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. And then we see in Luke chapter 17 that 10 lepers cried out to Jesus for mercy. They lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." In Luke chapter 17 and verse 13. And in the next verse, we see that they received the mercy that they had asked for at the Master's hand. And when he saw them, he said unto them, "Go, shew thyselves unto the priest." And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And then in Mark chapter 10 and verse 46, on the road of Jericho sat a blind beggar called Bartimaeus. And Bartimaeus, when he heard that Jesus was coming, he cried out, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." And we're told that very day that Jesus answered his cry of mercy and restored his sight. And then one of the greatest of examples of the Lord showing mercy is found in Luke chapter 23. We see that one of the dying thieves on the cross asked Jesus for mercy. This thief realized that he himself deserved to be there. But this man in the middle, the Lord Jesus Christ, had done nothing amiss, did not deserve to be there. So this thief knew that he was a sinner, deserved his punishment. But he cried out to Jesus for mercy, and he received it. Because we're told in Luke chapter 23, in verses 42 to 43, and he said unto Jesus, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." And Jesus said unto him, "Verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise." All of these accounts illustrate that when a person cries out to the Lord for mercy, realizing that they're a sinner, realizing they deserve the predicament that they're in, that they shall receive it. But it's important to note that each of these cries for mercy came before death and not after the person died. Remember, my dear friend, listening today, it's too late to cry out for God's mercy after you are dead. There is no second chance. I don't care what your religion teaches you. I don't care what lie that you've been fed to wait until you die to deal with eternity. There is no second chance according to the Word of God. Not according to me. Not according to what any other man said. But according to the Word of God. And that's all that matters. What does the Word of God have to say? The Word of God says in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27, "As it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment." The rich man in hell cried out for God's mercy, and he was not heard. It was too late. My dear friend, if you're listening today and you are unsaved, then you need to cry out to God through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to have mercy on you, to save you from your sins before it's too late. Don't put it off before you die lost and in your sins. Oh, you'll cry out for mercy like this rich man did in hell, but you're not going to get any because it'll be too late. The second thing we want to see that's missing in hell is there are no saints. There are no other Christians there. God's people will not be there. God's people will not be there. We see that the rich man lifted up his eyes in hell. And in Luke chapter 16 and in verse 23, and it says, and he seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verses 8 through 9 tells us of the fate of those that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord. The child of God in the current age of grace was once afar off from God. No hope until they were saved. Paul the Apostle reminds us of this in Ephesians chapter 2 and verses 12 to 13. He says that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. But praise God, amen. Praise God that all of those who have called upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to save them from their sins are now made nigh to God. They are no longer afar off. They're now nigh to God. They're close to God by the blood of Christ. Because we should be with that rich man burning in hell right now, afar off from God and God's people. If you have not, then you need to draw nigh to God through the blood of Christ, or you'll end up like that rich man, afar off from God and God's people with no hope. There'll be no saints in hell. There'll be no God's people in hell, amen. No, only lost sinners will spend time and eternity in a burning lake of fire. The third thing that we want to see that'll be missing in hell is there'll be no water. No water. I know around this country of ours we've experienced water shortages, amen. But there's always been some water to go around. Well, as hot as it gets on this earth, it's nothing compared to how hot it's going to be in hell. And what's going to make matters worse, amen, is there's going to be no water. in verse 24 of Luke chapter 16, we're told that the rich man, and he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. The rich man requested that Lazarus dip his finger in water and cool the rich man's tongue. Hell, my friend, is a place where one's thirst is never quenched. We can all testify to the fact that there's nothing like a cool glass of water to quench a thirst, especially if you've been out in the hot sun working during the summer. Never able to quench your thirst. Always being in a state of constant thirst. Just picture the taste in your mouth, your lips, your tongue, and your throat parched like the ground that it's so dry it has begun to crack and blister and peel. It feels like you have dust in your mouth. Amen. Dry. As the expression goes, dry as cracker juice. Amen. You can't get any drier. And you're going to cry out for water. Just for someone to dip his finger in some water and put it on your tongue to quench your thirst. And there's going to be no relief. Amen. See, the problem with most people today is they don't believe the Word of God. Because if they believe the book and they read this account of what's gonna hell's going to be like, amen, then they'd get right with God. They'd get saved. Amen. Because look at the situation. It's laid out graphically. Amen. No water. No water in hell. No water in hell, my friend. Your thirst will never be quenched. Is this where you want to end up? A place. Amen. A place where there's no water. Amen. A place where there's no saints. A place where there's no mercy. Amen. And the thing is, you're going to have all your five senses when you're in this place of torment. He said there was a flame, amen, a flame, an actual flame, amen. You'll have all your five senses, like I said. And he said to him, Abraham said to this man that he told him to remember in verse 25. But Abraham said, son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receiveth thy good things. Remember. You're going to have a memory. You're going to remember the time when you had an opportunity to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, to believe on Him, to receive Him, to be saved, to have your sins forgiven, but you rejected it. And that memory is going to haunt you for time and eternity. If only, you're going to say, if only. It's going to be too late. Amen. Too late. You'll be able to feel the burning, your burning flesh. You'll be able to smell the smoke. Amen. And hear the screams of pain. Amen. And to realize all those years that your religion had been lying to you. Whatever it is. But it's never too late while you're alive to receive Jesus Christ, to realize that, as the scripture says, that Christ died. He died for your sins. According to the scriptures, he was buried, and he arose again the third day according to the scriptures. The only thing that will save you is if you're trusting in Jesus Christ, taking your place at Calvary's cross, shedding his precious blood for the forgiveness of your sins, to pay for your sins. Only trusting in that, and that alone, will save you. Repentance towards God and faith in Jesus Christ. My dear friend, before we close today, do you know 100% sure if you were to die that you'd go to heaven? If you can't answer that in affirmative because I've trusted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, I'm trusting in Him alone and what He did at Calvary to pay for my sins. If you're trusting in anything else, my friend, you're going to end up in this place called hell. Well, we're going to continue our study on things missing in hell next time on the Pastor's Study. And until we meet again on the Pastor's Study, this is Brother Gino saying, may God richly bless you, and good day.